Thank you for joining us as we discover nothing but the truth with David Johnston.
Surprising though this may seem, when you look in the mirror, you do not see yourself. You see your body, but you see the real you lives inside a body. And you have a soul, which gives you the ability to express your mind, your emotions, and your will. And sometimes in this life, the soul can be ensnared. Look at this scripture with me. Our soul is escaped like a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we are escaped. The next verse says, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. You see, you are a spirit. You have intellect and emotions and will, and you live in a body. The problem in this life is that your mind can become entangled, ensnared. Your emotions can become ensnared. And God wants your soul to escape from all those snares. So let's learn a few things about your soul. Number one, learn that God wants your soul to be intact, in whole. We know this because the scripture says, beloved, I wish above everything else that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. God wants your soul to prosper. He is in favor of your soul, mind, emotions, and will being intact. But the second thing we need to learn is that the soul can be damaged. Your mind can be damaged. And if something isn't fixed, it can stay damaged the rest of your life. You can have emotional damage. And if somehow there isn't a restoration, you can stay emotionally damaged the rest of this life. So the soul can be damaged. Well, first of all, it can be damaged by Satan. Look at this verse with me. The enemy hath persecuted my soul. Look at this. Persecuted my mind. Persecuted my emotions. Persecuted my ability to make choices. The enemy. Look at this. The enemy. That is Satan. He has smitten my life down to the ground, David said. And he makes me dwell in darkness. Soul can be damaged by Satan. And then the soul can be damaged by circumstances. And the best illustration of this is Job. Remember him in the Bible? Here's what he says. Terrors are turned upon me. They pursue my soul as the wind. Look what happens. And my welfare passes away like a cloud. And then he said, and now my soul is poured out upon me. The days of affliction have taken hold upon me. Your soul can be damaged by the circumstances of life. And then a soul can be damaged by the wrong choices that we make. In this scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, dearly beloved, and I love how the scriptures address you that way and me. Dearly beloved, do you know that God has nothing but great affection for you? That's why he is so zealous that your soul be set free, not ensnared, and not damaged. Dearly beloved, look at this. I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Look at this now. Abstain from fleshly lust. And look at what they do. They war against your soul. So the soul can be damaged by wrong decisions that we make. Well, let's learn something else about the soul. Number three, and this is really good news. No matter how great the damage, no matter how long ago it was, and you may still be suffering things that happened in your childhood, in your emotions, in your mind, and in your will, you just lose the power to bring things into existence. It's a defeated feeling. Here's the good news, is that your soul can be restored. Look at this scripture. You probably have it memorized. He restoreth my soul. Psalm, that famous Psalm 23. Now, to be restored means to be returned to its original undamaged condition. What God wants to do is have your soul restored to its original condition the way he designed it, free of damage, free of hurt, free of all that's happened to it in the past, so that you are mentally, emotionally, and in your will, absolutely free to be the full capacity human being that God designed you to be. Well, of course, the question then becomes, how can you get your soul restored? And I hope that you'll take real good notes, at least starting right here if you haven't already. To get your soul restored, step number one is to recognize that God is the one who restores your soul. If you try to restore your soul, it'll be like trying to pick yourself up by your own bootstraps, so to speak. In Psalm 23, look it. He restores my soul. The restoration that you and I need comes from God. So getting your soul restored begins with recognizing that it's something that God does. The second thing is to affirm His leadership, His lordship in your life. Look at this scripture, and you probably know this one. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We need to affirm that He is indeed our shepherd. To get restoration, you see, the sheep need to go to the shepherd. And that's what God is for you. In fact, your children should be following you the way you follow the Lord. They will, in fact. Because, you see, the sheep need to follow the shepherd. And if they do, the lambs will follow the sheep. You know, in the story that Jesus told, it wasn't a lamb that went astray. It was a sheep. And the reason that our lambs go astray today is because they follow sheep that are going astray. Affirming the lordship of God, of Christ, in your life means realizing that He is the shepherd and the sheep are to follow the shepherd. In one verse, look what he says. And this is a wonderful verse. Oh, it's so filled with warmth and healing and cleansing. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives His life for the sheep. That's what God does for you. That's what Jesus did for you. And that's why Hebrews tells us, refers to Him now, the God of peace, the great shepherd of the sheep. So, restoration begins with recognizing, number one, that it is God that does the restoration. And number two, that we need to affirm that He is our shepherd so that we can go to Him and He will do that which He has promised to do, which is to restore our soul. Now, the third thing may surprise you, because the third thing that the Scriptures instruct us to do is to lie down. You know, this word restore, first four letters spell rest. Restoration takes place in a restful posture. And in Psalm 23, he says of the Lord makes me to lie down in green pastures. This restoration takes place laying down. So, number three, don't miss this. By the way, notice in the text again that it says that He makes you to lie down in a specific place, in green pastures. That is, pastures that have never been trampled on. The pastures are ways of thinking. Remember in the New Testament, Jesus told us the parable about the wayside soil. Wayside soil is soil that got trampled on. There are people whose minds have been trampled on by all kinds of others and by media. And what He does to restore our soul, He wants to lay down beside some new thoughts, untrampled on pastures. And let me just give you another verse that shows that we need to lie down for this. Look at this. My soul, again, it's talking about my mind and my will and my emotions, will be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Now look at this. My mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. Watch it now. When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches. In order for God to restore us, He makes us lie down. Restoration cannot happen during the hustle and bustle of life and the busyness of activities. It takes laying down. And then, fourthly, to get your soul restored, we need to catch the stillness. Look at the scripture. He leads me beside still waters. Places of solitude are very important. One of the best things you can ever do is to go out into the silence and listen. Because there are things that can only be heard in silence. One verse of scripture says this. It's a commandment of the Lord. It says, be still. Look at this. It's a commandment. Be still. And in that stillness, know that I am God. We must go to the place of stillness. Let's look at another verse. He makes the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad. Look at this. Why are they glad? And it's because they are quiet. It is in that place of quietness, the scripture says, that he is able to bring them into their desired restoration, their desired haven. Takes place when we get in the stillness. Another verse says this, stand in awe and sin not. Look at this now. Commune with your own heart. Isn't it strange where to do it? Laying down upon your bed. And look at this. And be still. Restoration has to take place in the stillness. It is in the stillness where you hear from God. You know, I think I've said this before, and if not, it bears repeating anyhow, that God made us to operate at 2,000 RPM. Most of us live at 10,000 RPM, but we're designed to live at 2,000 RPM. Do you know God speaks to us at 500 RPM? We need to chill out, lay down, get in the stillness, because that's where restoration takes place. We have to lay down and catch the stillness. Let's look at some more of this, because I want you to know that this is emphatically taught by the Lord. Look at this. In Ecclesiastes, the book of philosophy in the Bible, the words of wise men, where do wise men hear what they need to hear? Look at this. They are heard in the quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. And that's why the scripture tells us to study to be quiet. You know, you'd think we study for an exam, study to pass, study to achieve. And God comes along, because you know, the ways of God are so often the opposite to the ways that we think. For man doesn't see the way God sees. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts and my ways above yours. If we will not listen to God about studying to be quiet, we will never have restoration happen to our souls. The busyness of life will crowd in upon us, and we will become ensnared and stay caught in the snare week after week, month after month, year after year. So, study. When can you be quiet? Schedule, set a time to be quiet. Now, look at this next verse with me. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely. And look at this. And then what's going on around you won't affect you. You shall be quiet when there's cause for other people to be fearful. You will not be fearful because you've been to the quiet and you've been restored in that quiet place. It's in the quiet where we hear the words of God. And scripture says, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, health to the bones. Let's look at another scripture. Thus saith the Lord, God. This is important. Whenever God's saying something and he puts in front of it, it's me that's speaking. Listen up, y'all. Here's what he says. In returning and rest shall you be saved. And it's in quietness and confidence that you will become stronger. Mentally and emotionally and spiritually, you will become strong when the soul gets restored. Another verse says this, and the work of righteousness shall be peace. The effect of doing what's right shall be quietness. Not just quietness, but assurance forever. You will be never taken off guard. You will never be mentally or emotionally on edge if you spend time in the quiet place. Now, while you're in the quiet place, the fifth thing we want to do while we're there is we want to be restored. Let restoration take place. And it is God that does this work when you and I follow these first few directions. Recognize it's God that does it. Make sure that He is Lord, that He is the shepherd. And then go to the quiet and listen in that quiet place. And then He will restore us. Remember that to be restored means to be returned to the original condition. Well, I guess the closing question that we need to ask ourselves today is how can we stay in the original condition? Just before I tell you the answer, let's review just one more time for a moment that it is when we lay down and catch the stillness in that quiet place, that is where God works in our lives. That's why He said, be still and know that I'm God. You will not find God. You will not likely make contact with Him if all around you are voices yelling and screaming, go this way, go that way. He is found in the quiet place. Well, in that quiet place, He will restore your mind. I need to stop there for a moment longer because you know that the scripture says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And listen to this, and a sound mind. He wants you to have a sound mind. That's why your mind needs this restoration. That's why your emotions need restoration. That's His intentions for you. So how do we stay once we're restored? How do we stay in this original condition? And obviously, if you get out of this condition, you want to repeat these same steps all over again and get restored again. But how can you stay in the original condition? And the answer is to follow the shepherd. The one that says, He restoreth my soul. Now watch with me the scripture. Because when He restores, watch what He does after restoration. He leads you in a new path, an adjustment, a righteous path. And He does it, of course, for His name's sake. How do you stay in original condition? By keeping on following the shepherd, like the sheep follow the shepherd who gives His life for them and keeps them. Following the Lord. You see, Jesus put it this way. He said, disciples are those who continue in my word. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. So the key to staying intact, the key to staying in the original, untarnished, undamaged condition, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, is to keep on following the shepherd. He leads you in paths of righteousness for His name's sake, because it's in His leadership of your life that He will bring more times of rest and refreshing. One great poet of yesteryear said, "The world is too much with us. Getting and spending, we lay waste our powers." Scripture puts it this way, we were like sheep that were gone astray. But see, it is going to the quiet and letting him restore us that brings it. Look at the next part of this verse. We were like sheep going astray, but now are we returned to the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. So we've come back now to restoration. The key to staying there is to stay returned and don't drift away. Keep the thoughts of God in your mind. Keep his feelings. Keep his wholeness. Keep his health. Keep his wonder. Stay fully alive. Because watch what the results are if you will stay in the original condition. Most of you know this passage so well. Because after this, being in the stillness and following his leadership in paths of righteousness, this is the result. David said, yes, even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even if all around me calamities, bad stuff is taking place, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. I will be so full. You see, emotions of elation rather than emotions of depression will follow. Follows restoration. And if we stay in the following condition of the Lord and follow on in knowing him, then we stay in this place of joy running over out of our life. And then David wraps it up, as you well know, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, before we finish, very quickly, let's look at the summary. How do you get your soul restored? Number one, recognize that it is God that must do the restoring. All we can do is accommodate it. Number two, affirm the lordship of God in your life. Because if you go to the quiet but don't acknowledge him there, how can restoration take place? You go there to listen to him, to hear his leadership, to hear his speaking voice, to hear him say, you're doing all right. Or hearing him say, you need to adjust this or forget about that. All is well. It's there as you affirm the lordship. And then for this to happen, we need to lie down in sweet repose, place of tranquility, a place of solitude, a place away from others. And then while we're there, catch what he has to say in the stillness of that moment. It's faint when it's one of the best stories, illustrations I've ever known in my life. And I am a Canadian by birth, and I tell people American by the grace of God and a Southerner by choice. When I lived in Canada, I learned this story. How in the frontier days of Canadian frontier village of Niagara Falls, people were woken abruptly in the middle of the night. They were so used to the roar of the falls while they ate, while they slept, while they worked, while they went to school. It was always that noise in the background. And in the middle of the night, they sat bolt upright in bed, didn't even know why. Because that night, Niagara Falls had quit running. Silence woke them right out of their sleep. They didn't even understand what had been going on. Some of them, in the middle of the winter, pulled on their overclothes and their boots, and they started walking through the streets of that little frontier village. And when they got to where the falls had been running, they stared in amazement that the ice had blocked the falls and that great precipice edge was silent for the first time in their whole human history. To their knowledge, silence woke them up. That is why God wants us to catch the stillness. And then, once there, allow God. Oh, what a wonderful person he is. He comes with all of his gentleness. You know, I've never had him yell or scream at me. It will be a soothing experience for you. I have had him do some major things in that quiet place. He'll take your heart, and if he has to crush some of it down into powder and then put it back together again, deep surgery takes place, great restoration takes place, hurts get sorted out there. See, God will mend a broken heart if we give him all the pieces. And he sorts out the stuff that doesn't belong, and he helps us to cast it aside so that restoration takes place. We get back in the condition of wholeness. And then, after restoration, make sure that you stay in the original condition by keeping on following the Good Shepherd.
Our hope and prayer is that you have been blessed and encouraged through this teaching. Our mission is to edify, exhort, and disciple the body of Christ by teaching nothing but the truth from God's Word, the Holy Bible. For more information about Nothing But the Truth, or to view our teachings, please visit nothingbutthetruth.org.